Okay, maybe that's it. All right, it's recording. Okay, so this morning is February 7th. February 7th, 2015. And we are at our PC congregation in Jerusalem. And the parasha for this week was...
He is Yitro.
Yitro. Okay. And would somebody like to sum it up? Read it?
Yes. This is comment of Yitro comes and gives some guidance and 10 commandments given.
So at Sinai, right? So I'd like to look at one aspect from that, which would be the Ten Commandments. And so let's... Just one aspect.
Yeah.
I'll just open with prayer. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we could be here and... In all of our chaos, personal chaos, and life situations, and we think about those around us in this region that are wondering if they'll be alive tomorrow. Uh-huh. Also in other places around this world where there is a lot of tension and fear and worry. And we come to your word now, and we know that you give peace. Your word is a light into our path, and your Holy Spirit is the great teacher. And we ask that you will show us more, let us go fuller and deeper into your word, into who you are, in our relationship with you now. Guide us. In your name we ask, Jesus. Amen.
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 So, let's read those in Exodus 20. Somebody like to read Exodus 20, starting in verse 1 through, let's say 17. Exodus 20, verses 1 to 17. Volunteer.
I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations for those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, your manservant or maidservant, or your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and the sea and all that is in it, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false testimony against your neighbor. And you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Thank you. So those who are walking in, we are doing, we're looking at, starting off looking at Exodus 20, the giving of the law at Sinai, and more famously known as the Ten Commandments. Why do we call them the Ten Commandments?
Because there are ten.
Are there?
Because God didn't suggest them.
Okay. But is there anything written where we just read calls on the Ten Commandments?
No.
No. So where do we get that there's ten? Let's start with that. If it's not here, where is it? The idea of ten.
You mean within the text, or with ten as a number of testing? Are you meant?
Okay, I mean, but it is written in the text in the Bible, just not here in this chapter. Right. How about that? Any other place that you think of? Where, what happens to the first Ten Commandments?
They get destroyed and start all over again.
It starts all over again, and where does that happen?
After the golden calf.
Right. Exodus 34, right? Let's go to Exodus 34. Verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. Okay, so this is the context. And if you go to verse 27, then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words and keep reading there. What does it say?
I made a covenant with you and with Israel. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments.
Mm. Okay. In the Hebrew, what's it say? Right, in rabbinic tradition it's Aseret HaDivot, and it's something, I was looking at it on the Hebrew Wikipedia about feminine and masculine with Dibrah and something like that. I don't know, I think it's, we'll look at it later. But Aseret HaDivarim, so we have Exodus 34:28. Also, if you... Where else do we have this giving of these commands in the Bible? Besides Exodus, they're also given in
Deuteronomy.
So Deuteronomy 4:13 and Deuteronomy 10:4 also have Aseret HaDivarim. And then, as Randy mentioned, in rabbinic literature today, it's Aseret HaDivot. What's another... another thing that we give these commands, another title in English that's been, it's more of a fancy word. I've heard the Decalogue.
Oh, right.
And where does that come from?
It's ten.
It's the same.
It means ten.
Right, right. From Greek.
Greek.
Right. Decalogue, and so like ten words. Logos. And logi. So that's from the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures. And the other thing are what they're written on. What are they called?
Tablets.
Tablets in Hebrew.
Luchot.
And if you turn to Deuteronomy 9:9 as an example. I think this is actually the only place it appears in the Hebrew Scripture. Deuteronomy 9:9. When I went upon the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, Luchot Ha'avanim, the tablets of the covenant, Luchot Ha'brit, that the Lord had made with you, I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And I ate no bread and drank no water. So that's like Exodus 34:28, very similar in context. So let's go back to this whole thing about ten. So the Bible says there's ten, and so the question is, where are the ten? Does it say the first one is this, the second one is this, the third one is this? No.
It's a good question.
Yes. It's kind of like talking about the 10 plagues of Egypt too. What were the, how do you count 10? So let's start talking. If you look in Exodus 20, verse 1 through 17, we just had them read. What would you say the first one is?
You shall have no other gods before me.
Okay, so I'm just going to start writing stuff up here, and we can argue and debate after we get things up here. No other gods. Okay, what's another one?
Make any more idols in the form of any gods.
Okay, no
idols. No idols or image I have.
Yeah. Okay, what else?
You're not to misuse the name of the Lord your God.
Okay.
Which is commonly.
What's the
Latin?
Yeah. Don't take me.
Don't talk the name.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Keep the Sabbath.
Okay. Shabbat.
If you wanted to just go with the command, there's also the you should not bow down. That goes between
other okay.
Idols, or
after no
idols.
Do not bow down.
Yeah, after
or maybe worship.
Actually, after.
Oh, after. Okay. What else?
Honor your father and your mother.
Okay, our parents. What else?
Do not murder.
Yeah, murder?
Yeah.
No murder.
Commit adultery.
No adultery.
No
stealing. No stealing.
False testimony.
Don't lie.
Covet.
Don't covet them.
Covet.
Okay. You like those 10?
Yeah, that was a good list.
It's a good 10?
The first one about I am the Lord your God. It doesn't say for anything not to do. Yeah, it says basically it's saying worship me. That's what it's asking.
Okay, that's a good point. Because in some traditions, this is the first commandment. The statement, I am the Lord. Your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt.
Thou shalt have no other gods.
Well,
what happens in Rome is they bring the idols, they muddle up the idols with no other gods, I think. So they still get back to 10, but they start in a different place. That's how they do it.
Okay, well, in the Jewish tradition, which I guess is, you know, rabbinic tradition, this day, this is number one. And if you think about it, like Pesach is the probably the most important holiday or the most important remembrance in Judaism today. And this is, what is that full statement right there of Exodus 20 verse 2?
Who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I wrote next to it this morning, God's calling card. That's the basis for his, who he is.
That's his description.
That's what he describes himself as. This is who I am. This is what I did.
So there's that connection that they've been brought across the Red Sea or the Yam Suf and into the wilderness, and here they are at Sinai.
Well, he doesn't say that. He just says, I brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery.
Right.
That's his state. I mean, and then if you bring it into a New Testament later on, it's like the same promise. I'll bring you out of your land of Egypt and I'll bring you out of slavery.
Your sin. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not a slave to sin anymore.
Right. But so I'm pointing out that here, probably maybe Jewish tradition has that strong connection to Egypt, coming out of Egypt,
yeah.
Pesach. The whole freedom from slavery in that regard. So they would, what they do is they, let's see.
They combine.
Yes.
It's 2 and 3, basically.
Exactly. So in there, in the Jewish tradition, this is number one, and this is number two, and then so on. And there is, who's Catholic in here?
I've heard that you divided one verse into two and dropped another one. I don't know which one they dropped.
Right.
Maybe it's the Sabbath.
No.
The second commandment.
You're not making
the second.
It.
They dropped the second?
Yes.
Yeah.
They divided the tenth commandment into two.
Combined it.
So for them, they take this doesn't exist. This is a zero, and this is back to is there an eraser on here anymore?
Here's the napkin.
There wasn't one in the bag. Come back here. 1 and 2, and let's see. Remember, what am I saying? They do combine us. One, and it becomes two with taking the name. Three is the Shabbat, so 2, 3. Honoring the parents, you will not murder, adultery, stealing, false testimony. And then down here in the covet part, you'll notice back in Exodus 20, there's a break in the structure of the covet. Does anybody notice where it's at in verse 17?
Is it between house and your neighbor's wife and all his animals?
It's you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, blah, 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 blah. So there's two statements there, you shall not and you shall not. And so they make each of those statements a commandment because of the way it's broken there, the structure. So then the tenth is...
9 and 10.
Right. Tradition is 5, 6... 10. The first line is, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and then you will not...
No, house is first.
House
is first.
House
is first.
And then the wife.
And everything else.
And, yeah, all the servants and the animals
come
with the wife.
What if your neighbor is married?
You shouldn't covet it.
And I'm going to this.
Yeah. Okay, so this is Catholic. It started with Augustine, at least, and other traditions connected to that. And then if you're Protestant, which we started off, which I think most people in here are...
It's not Tertullian, I guess. No, the first one.
The what?
Tertullian, his name is...
Which one is he with, Tertullian?
Was it? You know, the one who started changing is Tertullian, one of the Catholic fathers.
Right, but what...
Earlier than Augustine.
Right, but what was his name again?
Tertullian.
That's what I said, Tertullian, right?
Yeah.
From North Africa.
Yeah, no, North Africa. Yes, also.
Yeah, he's from North Africa.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Augustine is Morocco.
Right. Yeah, I don't have him down here. But the one that we're all familiar with is the one we started off with. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And this one is connected actually to quite a few people. Eastern Orthodox Church, so the Greek Church, Philo of Alexandria, Josephus, the Anglican Church, Calvin, Zwingli, and
Luther.
Luther is actually with the Catholics, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the J at the top?
Jewish.
Oh.
Like, as in rabbinic Jewish.
Yeah.
So. No, no, no. And there's one other group. What about the Samaritans? What are their Ten Commandments?
It's the Torah.
And the Samaritans just use the books of Moses.
Sure, right, but as far as these,
far those?
They have nine of these, and then they have an extra one.
Where should they have the things?
Exactly, that's their tenth commandment, is that you should worship at Mount Gerizim. So, but there's not many Samaritans left. So,
is that in the Bible?
In their Bible, yeah.
In Hebrew.
Yeah, in Hebrew. So that's kind of a nice little
trivia. That's the correct one.
You're Samaritan.
Well, besides the edits that are clearly Samaritan,
right.
Some of their names are better than NT.
Right.
What does the number 10 also signify?
Sure, I mean, tens.
I tell you.
You tell
10% discount.
10%
this
discount.
Is what the Christian word is applied to.
Oh, 10% discount on this.
Discount, yes, because there is one discounted.
I see.
Which one is that?
What point? You know, anyone who breaks one as if he is guilty in all.
Right.
So the fourth commandment, according to the scripture, was discounted and replaced by something else.
Oh, yeah?
Sunday worship.
Huh. That's one way to think about it. So, why are these commandments so important, or why are they set apart by so many traditions? I guess basically Christian traditions. What about Jewish tradition today, rabbinic tradition? How do they view the Ten Commandments?
Obvious. Commonsensical.
Commonsensical. But like, how many commandments are there in rabbinic tradition?
613.
So there's 613. This number is based off of, I forget which person added them up, but going through... Who?
Rambam.
Rambam, okay. So, that's about 1,000 years ago. Went through in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and counted 613 commandments. And, I mean, it probably could be debated. Just like this, you know, the Ten Commandments can be debated, too, about which are the ten. This probably has more of a connection to its gematria. You know the what it equals 613
Tovah. It's 10.
Because the Tav is 400, the Vav is 6, the Resh is 200, and the Hay is 5.
The 613 together is 10 also. 613.
Sorry. Yeah. Wait. What are you saying first?
613 also equals 10.
Okay, there you go. That's nice. And this came up to be 611, right?
Yeah. So then what does it do?
Well,
isn't that rule if you're off by one, it's okay?
Yeah, but this one's off by two.
Yeah, it's off by two. It's been a while.
So I'm going to have to read a little more midrash on this. But that's what I've always heard. It's about this whole 613 thing. So, anyways. It's not necessarily about the number, it's about what they mean and what you do with them. If you've got 613 in rabbinic tradition and you've got 10 over here, is there a disconnect or a problem? Well, for those who practice...
These were the 10 that were written on the tablet.
Right.
Yeah, but so the question is why these ones? What sets these apart is somehow special or maybe above the other ones?
Like, don't sleep with your mother, for instance. You know, that's like in Leviticus.
Well, you know, 613 was reestablished after the captivity. And most of them, or maybe all of them, regarding keeping the Sabbath. Holy.
No, that's not true.
Well, it is, yes.
Maybe a majority.
When they came back, they were, I don't know where is the text.
What was established after the captivity?
After the captivity, 613.
What's the establishment?
The laws were way before the captivity. No. After the captivity, they started taking them seriously.
Go ahead, Randy.
It's after the captivity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, most of the laws, all those laws they're talking about there are all written before the captivity. Before the
Ten Commandments.
And no, the 613 were written before the Babylonian captivity. The other thing is, I was just playing, and if you could call it Torah Bet. If you add the Bet, then you get 613, and so that would include the Baal Peh.
Right, I'm sure.
Well, Torah Aleph is just
different. It got destroyed, it got broken. Don't you remember?
Now, the other thing, are you going to deal with why there are two tablets?
Yes, okay. Yeah. But, real quick, you start to find that as time goes on, the rabbis don't want the people to think these are more important than all of them. That's what I was trying to get at. Because they are kind of set apart here, right? And it becomes, like where I grew up in the South in America, you have the Ten Commandments on the wall of the justice or whatever.
Until Congress told you not to do it.
Right. But they're kind of elevated is what I'm trying to say. They're kind of set apart. In Jewish practice, they aren't really. I mean,
they vary.
Do you on walls or like the stained glass window? You'll see the.
No, I know, but it's still the 613 are still as important.
Yeah.
Just like don't boil the calf in its mother's milk. Oh, that's cool. Still very
don't
important.
Sleep with it. Sleep. But the interesting thing is, don't sleep with your mother. It's the same. Got the same sort of power in the 613 as. Don't wear clothes that are mixed material.
Right, linen.
I mean, there's no
differentiation.
Distinguishing. No separating. What's the word I want?
You're right. I mean, everybody agrees. Things are valued on. Some things are worse than others in what you do.
My daughter says that the 613 are kind of a hedge. Around the 10, so that even if you break one of those, you haven't broken the 10.
Yep.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
It does.
It does, because it's a principle, isn't it?
And we all practice it if we have any type of living faith, where we try to guard our faith in different ways.
Can I see what size it is?
Yes. Go ahead. All right.
But we were reading this with our kid who's 6, and we got through reading the list of 10. He's like, "Wow, I've broken all those a lot of times."
I researched the 613 because a long time I thought it was baloney, but then a certain Jewish friend of mine, I went to lecture and I realized. So I looked at everyone, a lot of them individually, and I picked certain ones out that seemed like they stood out. I think, I'm not sure if it's number 5, but I noticed that maybe number 5 of 613 really stood out from the other ones that seemed whatever. But this one said, do not seek revenge. That's one of the 613 that I thought stood out very strongly.
Mm-hmm. Good. Nice observation. So, I'm going to try to bring this all together. Randy brought up about how are these 10, how are they displayed? Let's make a stereotypical luchot here. And so how do you think there's 10? How do you think they... Why is there 2 tablets, for instance? Okay, you said 4? 4 on this one, 6 on this one? Okay.
One's focused on relationship with God, and one's focused on relationship with everybody else.
But let's just start off. Come on, when you're in Sunday school, you thought it was 5 and 5, right?
5.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other ideas besides the 4 and the 6, which we'll talk
about? It'll be written on front and
back. Okay, there was another one that... What do you mean written on front and back?
Two copies.
Okay, so 2 copies. So there's 10 and 10.
Oh, really?
Why would you have two copies?
In case one gets broken.
It's a contract.
But you don't have to do both of them, right?
It's a covenant, a contract.
Okay, so this covenant idea that when you make a contract with your landlord or whoever you make a contract with, you take a copy and they take a copy. So maybe one's for Israel, one's for God.
It includes the seal.
The what?
Seal.
Oh, the seal?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, the seal, every seal should include the name, the job, or, you know,
requirements,
and the territory.
Right.
So the fourth commandment includes, for example, Obama, president of the United States. And the fourth commandment is God, creator of the whole world. Okay. This is the seal. Every document in the past must have a seal.
Sure, sure. It's got a seal. And actually, it says God wrote them, right? According to the text. So, any other ideas?
How long were some of them and how short did they get all fit on the first block?
Right.
No, two or three of them very long.
You like the 10 and 10? Okay. So, and then, I think in Catholic tradition they have it as 3 and 7. And I don't have my reference here. Sadia Hagan said that the one tablet had Exodus 20's version on it, the other one had Deuteronomy 5's version.
Oh, that's interesting.
Why did he say that? Have you compared the two lists, Deuteronomy 5 and Exodus 20? There's a couple of differences. They're almost the same, but what are the differences there?
It gives a different reason for honoring your father and mother.
Honoring Shabbat.
Yes, Shabbat is the one I know about.
Yeah.
In Exodus 20, why do you keep the Shabbat?
To keep it holy.
Right, but why?
Creation.
Because of creation, because God rested on the seventh day. This is Exodus 20. And then in Deuteronomy 5, why do you keep the Shabbat? Why do you rest?
Exodus.
Because the Lord brought you out of slavery out of Egypt.
Right. And you were slaves. And since you were slaves, then you should let your slaves also have a Shabbat or a rest.
It's a reference to redemption.
Right.
We worship Him because He created us and redeemed us.
Right. Right, and it says that they were put into the Arvon HaBrit, the Ark of the Covenant. It also says for the Sabbath in Exodus 20, you're supposed to remember. And in Deuteronomy 5, it says keep or guard. So remember is Zkor, and guard or keep is Shmor.
Observe is
another one. Observe is another one. Okay, so here's what I want to do now is Jesus has a very interesting encounter about the Ten Commandments in Matthew 19. And that's where we're going to end today, our discussion. Matthew 19, verses 23 to 30. Before we go there, Gemma brought up about the 4 and the 6 here. Yeah, these first 4 have to do with,
God.
You know, you hear all these sermons, the vertical relationship
with God.
And then these 6 have to do with our horizontal relationship.
Okay, that's like the cross.
There you go. And the horizontal, these 6 here are how you are in relationship with your fellow human being, your neighbor, let's call it. And these 4 are your relationship with God. So we can keep that in mind. And let's read. Would somebody like to read Matthew 19, verses 23 to 30? Go for it.
23.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, I assure you, it would be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Is that the part of me? When the disciples heard it, they were utterly astonished and asked them, "Who can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter responded to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you."
Actually, I'm sorry. Let's go back to verse 16.
That makes more sense.
Right. Okay, so Matthew 19, starting in verse 16.
Just then someone came up and asked him, "Teacher, what good must I do to have eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" he said to him. "There's only one who is good. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he asked him. And Jesus answered, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "I've kept all of these," the young man told him. "What do I still lack?" "If you want to be perfect," Jesus said to him, "go, sell your belongings, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard what that command, he went away grieving because he had many possessions.
So, what did Jesus say for him to do? What shall he do to inherit?
It's not a very evangelical response.
Sorry, say it again?
It's not a very evangelical response.
Jesus' response?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Not evangelical. Something that didn't claim it. Evangelical. Yeah. Don't you mean?
He said the last six commandments.
Yeah, he gives out all the ones about the
horizontal.
Where we would say
vertical.
Relationship with God right first.
Yeah.
No God.
There's an additional one though that Jesus adds that's not the Ten Commandments.
Yeah. Loving your neighbor.
Loving your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor. Where is that?
Verse 19, you mean?
No, where is it found in
Leviticus
19:18.
Yeah. That's all, and that's also the answer that he gives when someone asks him again the question about how do I get eternal life, and he says, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor.
As yourself.
So as yourself.
Let's go to that story, Luke 10.
So he gives a different answer, because then the guy says, "Well, who's my neighbor?" And then he tells the Good Samaritan story.
Okay, Luke 10, verse 25. Luke 10, verse 25. Somebody like to read that for us?
On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied, "and how do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself."
Let's just pause there. So who said that?
The guy.
The guy did.
Who did?
The guy.
What's Jesus?